The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to the servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" Good morning. Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Thank you. So the question is this: do you play for the love of the game, or do you play to win? Do you play for the love of the game, or do you play to win, was a question that I went to bed with one night so many years ago after my godson's 9th birthday party at a skating rink. Now, I didn't skate for the obvious reasons. I mean, did you ever see a giraffe on skates? You get the picture. But I did get the opportunity to take John and Ashton, my two godsons, John being 9 and Ashton was almost 4, into the most expensive game room I've ever been in. And of course, they wanted to play every single game, which they did. And of course, you know, you get tickets and then you collect all your tickets and you get worthless prizes. So as we were going through the game, we finally came to the last game, and it was the basketball game, you know, where you shoot for 30 seconds and then you receive tickets based on the baskets that you made. So John went first, put our quarter in, he had 30 seconds, and he made 5 baskets and he got 50 tickets. Now, Ashton was only 4, so he couldn't even see the basket, so I put him up on top of the machine and let him lean across the plexiglass so he could throw the balls. And for 30 seconds, he did, and he too made 5 baskets and got 15 tickets. So when it was my turn, I figured, all right, I'm ready for this. This is going to be great. And the balls were about half inflated. So no matter what you do, when you throw the ball, it hit the backboard, went in, hit the rim, it went in. So I knew this was going to be an easy task. So I put my quarter in, I have 30 seconds, and I'm using both hands. And of course, because my arms are so long, this is a pretty much a cakewalk. So I'm boom, 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 boom. For 30 seconds, 35 baskets I made. I look down, I got 15 tickets. 15 tickets, I said. John says, "What's wrong, Father?" He says, "15 tickets is what you get when you try your best." I said, "15 tickets?" He goes, "You want to play again?" I said, "Are you kidding me? For 15 tickets?" See, that's what Jesus is trying to teach when he tells the parable to the disciples who ask for greater faith. He's trying to tell them, "I've already won everything for you. I have gained the 15 tickets for you on the cross. When I offered myself completely and fully, you are sharing in the prize. All you need to do is participate in it, and all of it is yours." So it brings us back to that question: do you play for the love of the game, or do you play to win? When the game is discipleship, why are we disciples of Christ Jesus? Is it because we think that if we do what he asks us, what we do in obligation, we'll win something because of our merit? I'm afraid sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we head in that direction of our faith, that if we are faithful and good servants, then we earn the 15 tickets. In essence, that is as far away from the truth as possible. In fact, it is there that we become complacent and we end up just doing what we think is necessary to win the ultimate goal of sharing in eternal life. We call it a fire insurance. You know, a lot of people attend Mass for fire insurance, meaning that they come so that they can stay out of the fires of hell. It's an insurance of that. But Jesus says being a disciple means you approach it with overwhelming love and joy because it's already all yours. He has won it for us. So when they ask for the gift of faith, when they say, give us an increase in faith, what they're saying to Jesus is what Paul is reminding Timothy of in the second reading, is that it's easy to lose sight when it's already been won for you. That your participation is that for which a response of love for what is necessary. Because it becomes burdensome. It becomes difficult. Everybody wants to be able to make 35 baskets and get 110 tickets, not 15. When 15 is enough. Because 15 is all. So what Jesus is trying to tell the apostles is that you do not need an increase of faith because I've given you all the faith that is necessary, but you need to figure out how to use it and realize even a tiny piece of the faith I've given you is strong enough. And what Jesus tells them is that if you have this faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell that mulberry bush right there to uproot and plant in the sea, and it will. What Jesus is saying, the first thing you need to do for an increase of faith is clear everything else out of the way. Mother Seton, on the feast of St. Augustine, who she treasured his life because it was one of conversion like her own, wrote that the Savior has given me an abundant amount of grace, the faith necessary to follow him completely. But it is because of the stubbornness of my own heart that I block that gift of faith. And then she writes, what is the obstacles for which I have put, in essence, what is the mulberry bush that I have put in the way to have the faith to be able to respond with joy, with love, for the prize that has already been won for me. So what should be our mission this week? I think it's simple, is, as always, to want to be saints. Mother Seton was an ordinary person who did extraordinary things because she cleared the way for the gift of faith. That is what you and I are called to do. So how do we accomplish that? Simply by listening to Paul speak to Timothy. He says, Timothy, don't forget to stir up that fire of the Holy Spirit that you received when I laid my hands upon you. That's the sacrament of confirmation. Stir up that fire because it is in there you'll persevere. It is in that for which you will suffer willingly. It is there that you will never lose the love of the game of proclaiming the gospel because the prize is already yours. So when you come forward to receive Holy Communion, when you truly come forward to receive the one who has already won the prize for you, allow him to clear the way through those gifts of the Holy Spirit, through the three things that Paul reminds Timothy. The Spirit, he says, is not cowardice. It's not afraid. It's a spirit of power, of love, and perseverance. So ask for the gift of the power of faith that will allow you to continue to love the game. Ask for the gift of faith that will allow you to endure through suffering. And finally, ask for the gift of love, to be able to love this more than last week, because you know he has already won the prize, the gift of eternal life. And I promise I will do the same.